Hey guys, Dan here with the Viewing Globe podcast. Here with our second podcast, we're going to be reviewing High Five, the second episode of the first season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You can follow me at Twitter at the Viewing Globe Pod. I'll have it linked over here at the bottom of the screen, so this way you guys can see it. I post regularly, ask some cool questions, post a couple cool things, and some updates during the week. So definitely think about following me there. Also listen to me at castbox.com and youtube.com, all under the Viewing Globe podcast. So anyway, let's get on with this review. So the episode starts out with the Angel Grove juice bar / gym, you know, the classic hangout, the youth center. It shows Trini doing like a taekwondo type class and Jason climbing up a giant rope, and she like stops her class. I don't know if she was directing the class or she was just participating in it. So she just stops because she sees him climbing a rope to get to the top of the ceiling, like, you know, like every single high school gymnasium you've ever seen in your entire life that's been on TV, at least. I've never had one in my gym. And she's like, "You got to be careful. You can't be doing that." And he's already almost at the top. Like, he's like two rungs up from being up at the top. She's like, "You got to be careful. You can't be doing that." So they're trying to play out that she's afraid of it. He's not paying attention, so he slips like a foot, but then he climbs all the way up to the top. So she goes and walks off, and in comes Billy, and he's, you know, he's walking in like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" He's like talking super duper brainy, like more than he does throughout the rest of the season. I guess they really, really want to push in these first couple episodes that Billy is the smart one, which I don't know why they had to do that via him talking. Meanwhile, you see later in the episode how smart he is. But anyway, he steps underneath the rope because he's not physically inclined, which is another thing they try to get across in this episode. And Jason drops down from the rope because he's not paying attention, lands on Billy's shoulders. Billy's not expecting it. He freaks out. He starts running around, and they just kind of start doing like this like circus swing type thing because Jason's still holding on to the rope and Billy's like holding onto Jason's arms but trying to run away. I mean, he's holding onto his legs but trying to run away, so they start swinging about. Eventually, Jason lets go. They land right in front of Trini, and she's just looking like, she's doing a little chest press machine, and she's just looking at him like, I told him. But anyway, in comes Bulk and Skull, and obviously their music starts playing, and they challenge Jason. They're like, "Oh, this is easy. We could do this, no problem." And Jason's like, she's like, "Well, if it's so easy, why don't you go do it?" And Bulk, his response was, granted, he wasn't able to see Jason actually get to the top. He goes, "Well, at least I can get to the top." There was zero setup for Jason not being able to get up to the top. So Jason challenges him, like, "Well, you can get up to the top, which isn't really a fair challenge because Bulk probably has about an easy 100 pounds on Jason. So he's going to need so much more muscle to do this challenge. So anyway, he tries one time. It doesn't work. Tries a second time. Doesn't really work. And I think he tries a third time by just jumping on and grabbing the rope. And of course, the rope comes down from the ceiling. Falls down. And he knocks Skull over. They're on the floor. All this drywall and stuff starts falling on top of them. That's the gag. Anyway, it cuts to Rita on the moon. And she just says, she's like, "I'm going to get these Power Rangers stuck in a time warp just like Zordon." And then it cuts away. Like that's the whole thing. Anyway, it goes over to Billy, and he's talking super duper smart again. And he's going over to his locker, explaining that he's built something, but his words are too big that no one understands what he is saying. He pulls out the communicators, and he's like, "Look, I made these. They are devices that allow us to communicate with each other." People still don't really understand what he's saying, which is kind of weird because at this point you should, unless you're a little kid, which the show is targeted towards. So Trini has to go forward and explain basically translate for Billy what Billy's saying that he invented a communicating device that they can wear on their wrist, so this way they always get in touch with each other. They go to use them for the first time. Everyone presses the button at the same time, which if they would have had experience with walkie-talkies at the time, if everyone pressed the button at the same time, it doesn't work because everyone's broadcasting at the same time, so they all just cancel each other out. But anyway, everyone except for Billy presses the communicate button. Something goes wrong. They get teleported to the command center, and Billy's just like, oh, I gotta follow them. Presses the same thing. Comes about a second later. So Zordon then explains to everyone that the communicators, Billy has accidentally tapped into the teleporting grid, the teleporting unit, which does explain my question from the last episode, which, how did they just magically teleport there when they use the communicators in every other episode? Alpha has some terrible rap slang thing, like saying homeboy and hood and things like that, and luckily that goes away at some point during the series, but at the beginning I'm just like, Alpha, what are you doing, Alpha? Don't do this, Alpha. He's always kind of weird, but like, come on. Anyway, Alpha adds the communicator to be able to communicate with the command center's communications. So now everyone can talk to everyone. It's not just Rangers talking to Rangers. It's Rangers mainly talking with the command center for the rest of the season. I don't really see them using it too often from one-to-one. It's usually like, hey, Zordon, we need help. And then Zordon's like, Jason. Well, not Jason, because Jason David Frank. Tommy, we need you. That's usually the extent of it whenever they try to use the communicators to talk to each other. It cuts to back to Rita. She's talking about Finster, and he's making this new monster called Bones, which is basically a giant skeleton with like a magician's hat and a cape, and Babu is in charge of this time warp device. This is the whole point of the episode. This is her master plan to get these Rangers trapped in the time warp. That is her master plan, and I want you to remember that. That is the whole point of all of this. She doesn't care about Bones. She doesn't care about Squatter Babu. All she cares about is getting these Rangers stuck in this time warp, because they're what preventing her from taking over the Earth. Okay? Babu takes out the time warp device, which is a little miniature model of a space shuttle. Like, that's all it is. It's like, it looks like an RC space shuttle that's like this big. So she takes it, they launch it off. He has got his little remote control box thing. They launch off the space shuttle, and it's so comical because like they start playing the super duper menacing music and people like screaming and freaking out, and it's on the news on the TVs that this thing's coming from space and it lands on the streets, and you just see it's this big and it's like driving next to cars and people are freaking out and running away. It's hilarious. And then anyway, just like crash lands in like a little pile, like a little mound of dirt, like maybe like a foot high. And then just the little nose of it pops open. And then that opens up the time warp over the town. But, like, no one really notices that the time warp's there. Except for Zordon. Zordon's like, there's something going on. And he transports the Rangers to the middle of the desert. Mainly because that's probably one of the only sets that they have available to them at the time is the desert. And what they do from there is they see that the putties are there. And they're trying to sneak up on them. It instantly fails. They cannot sneak up on these putties. Jason, they want to morph right away. They're like, oh, we got to morph. And Jason's like, no, we can't, because we can't resort straight to morphing right away. Because in the first episode, Zordon said, only morph last case scenario. You want to try to resolve everything by yourselves. Which again escalates to the whole only use karate for self-defense lesson that they try to teach everyone during the show. So that's great, because that's something that they're trying to drill into these kids, because they don't want to start the show and kids start fighting each other and the parents don't like the show. So Jason has a pretty bad idea as leader because they're all fighting the putties in a group. And he notices that they're getting overwhelmed by the numbers. So he tells everyone to spread out. Which basically just involves Trini and Billy running away and everyone else staying together. And then Billy staying in the same mindset as Jason, he just tells Trini, hey, let's separate again. So it's Jason, Zach, and Kimberly all together fighting the putties, and Trini and Billy running away in separate directions. So they're mainly together except for when Billy says, let's separate. Billy runs up like a mountain or a small ridge line or something like that. It's about 50 to 30 feet high, and Trini stays low because, remember, at the beginning of the episode, she's afraid of heights. So Billy just, he just can't fend for himself. And in my fan theory, which there is no backing for this that I've ever found, I don't know if there is an interview out there or something, I think they're trying to set up for something between Trini and Billy, maybe in later seasons. Power Rangers has never done dating very well, but I think that that was maybe a goal in the future if everything worked out, because I feel like they hinted it a lot that Trini's really the only person that kind of gets Billy at the beginning of the season, and almost, I'd say, to the end, not quite till the end of the season, but she's really the only one for probably the first 30 to 40 episodes that really gets Billy and his personality and the way he talks and everything. They play up this whole her explaining everything. So I like how they do a kind of role reversal, though. So Billy isn't the strong, masculine, oh, I'm a hero type thing. That's Trini. Trini's the hero. She's the Taekwondo master. She does Tai Chi all the time. Her uncle is a Kung Fu master, you see in later episodes. So, of course, Billy runs up the hill, gets trapped by the putties, and he's like, I'm going to morph. So he pulls out his morpher and, juggles it and, drops it down the mountain, just epically failing. And Trini's just like, oh, I guess I got to go up there and get him. So she's, afraid to climb up, but Billy's her man, at least in my fan theory. But Billy's her friend, at least. So she's like, I gotta save him. So she goes, climbs up the mountain, gets to the top. She overcomes her fear. They have a couple of scenes of her I don't know if I should be doing this. But she overcomes her fear. She gets to Billy, and she, the putty comes running towards her, and she, runs past the putty, goes in front of Billy, and she's karate pose. So the putty, being the genius that it is, just runs at them. They duck to the side. He jumps off the mountain and commits suicide. Anyway, because now they are free and got rid of their one putty, they're able to go get the rest of the group. They're able to save them, which the group is being held down by the rest of the putties. Off screen, Billy gets his morpher, I guess, while they were running down the mountain. He picks up his morpher. They don't show that on screen, but I'm sure the timing just didn't work out. So anyway, they go there. They save the team, but all the putties are still there. So they form this human helicopter thing. It is so weird, and you never see it for the rest of the season. I'm assuming they did this because the actors weren't really fully trained on how to do TV karate, so they just had them do some type of move. But I would best explain it as a helicopter. Jason's in the middle. He has both people's legs and arms, and he's just spinning around in a circle while they're going around him. I'll post a picture over here just so you guys can see it. And he just goes, quick, human chain, after they escape from the putties. That's how they knew to do that move. He just goes, quick, human chain. That's not what I would think a human chain would be. A couple other things I could think of, but not that. Anyway, they teleport back to Zordon right away after they defeat the putties, because the human chain is the most OP move in the entire series and takes out all the putties. But they never use it again. But it takes out all the putties. And it only requires three people to do it. Not two. Well, two people are the wings, one person in the middle. Anyway, they quickly go to Zordon, and quickly Zordon's like, you gotta go to Bones. So he sends them off to Bones, and Bones is in the middle of an amusement park because that's where he was in Sentai. They don't really have a good explanation for that, even though there's other episodes with amusement parks in it that they could have used. Whatever. Bones is there. And he just removes his head and spins it up in the air, and somehow that magically brings everyone into the time warp, which is Rita's end goal. Remember that. This is Rita's end goal, to go into this time warp and trap them in there. So they go in there, they start fighting with Bones, and it quickly cuts to Squat and Babu. It's so funny because they kind of pan away from the fight and just zoom in on this little green pumpkin. Maybe, well, it's a kind of big first, like a regular pumpkin, but TV-wise, it's a small pumpkin that fits Squat and Babu in it. So they pop out, and Squat pulls out this comically, like, pirate bomb thing, and he's like, we gotta blow up the time device, the space shuttle, and blow it up, so this way everyone gets trapped in this time warp, but we gotta escape before that happens. So he goes over to the space shuttle, lights the fuse for the bomb, and they start running away, although, even though there's nowhere to run in the time warp. So the Rangers are like, we gotta stop that fuse. So they go over, they try to stop it, but of course Bones and his skeleton crew come in, and they cause some sort of problem for them. Jason runs in, tries to take on Bones by himself, but it doesn't work. He ends up asking for the team for help, which, why wouldn't you? Because they're all standing almost right next to him, but he kind of just tries to go in by himself for some reason instead of teamwork, which is a lesson he does need to learn, but he ain't going to learn it this episode. Anyway, they all blast him, and Bones blows up, turns into like a pile of bones, and you're just like, okay, they defeated him, but they start shaking. You're like, ooh, he's going to come back. So he starts almost forming. His head is about to hit his body, but Billy's like, we got to get that head. So he jumps up, grabs the head right before it attaches to the body, wraps it up in its little cape thing, and throws it over to Trini. Trini, complete badass moment, just takes on all of the skeleton crew, kills like three or four skeletons. And then I forgot to mention there's a giant crevice in this time warp that Bones opens up. She takes the skull, throws it down the down the crevice, and it explodes, because Sentai, everything explodes. Anyway, yeah, the skull explodes, and the time warp is still in effect, though, because the bomb hasn't gone off yet. Rita instantly gets upset, though, that this time that Bones died, she has zero attachment to Bones. They could just make another Bones. Just ask Finster. But the main mission, remember, is to get these Rangers in the time warp. So she summons a giant. Yeah. She summons a giant. I don't know why I said giant. But he punches a hole into the time warp. This is like another dimension. He punches a hole into time itself, grabs Jason, pulls him out of the time warp, which, again, the main mission of this episode was to get them trapped in the time warp. And because they did that, everyone followed and basically jumped out right before the bomb went off that would have trapped everyone in there. Squad and Babu also got out, but they don't show that on screen. The giant has Jason in his hand. So Jason's just like, YOLO, Leroy Jenkins. And he just goes, pulls out his blaster, shoots the giant in the eyes. So this way he's able to escape his clutches. And him himself, without any of the help of the team, because he doesn't care about the team yet, just calls for Dinozord power, gets in the Tyrannosaurus Zord, and just raffle stomps this giant. Like, the giant didn't even have a chance. Just completely demolishes him. It's actually really, really bad. Rita comically, like, kicks this giant, like, globe that she has in her little kingdom palace thing at Squat and Babu. It, like, hits them. And, like, not only was that funny enough, I love how she just, like, abuses them and how they all kind of just abuse each other. But not only did it hit them, but, like, they put Saban, I don't know if it was from Saban or from the original Sentai. I'm pretty sure Saban did this. They put this like comical springy noise in, like wah, like when she kicked it. It was, oh man, it was hilarious. Anyway, it cuts back to the Angel Grove Youth Center. Ernie's talking to some lady about the Power Rangers and how they were in the park and saved someone or saved the city or something. I don't know. I forgot his phrasing on it. Then, you know, they're all like talking and stuff and they're by the rope again. And, you know, Trini's talking about how she overcame her fears and everything. So then Zach comes up, sneaks up right behind her with a skull mask on. And he scares her, jumps at her with a skull mask, scares her. And she's so afraid that she climbs all the way up the rope, which it does show that she overcame her fear of heights. But now she's afraid of skulls. Yeah. I'm just joking. It's a pretty good episode. It's not amazing. One thing you have to take with these early episodes, I feel like they kind of get a pass because they were kind of finding their footing. A lot of these people haven't acted before, so they're still trying to find their footing. Everyone's doing a pretty good job as far as Power Rangers goes. But, you know, it's very episodical at the beginning. They're interchangeable. They were just trying to get viewers in. So they weren't hitting any major story beats or anything. They're just setting everything up. The show does get a lot better. I'd say probably like 20 episodes in, they stopped doing the episodical. It's still kind of episodical, but it starts having an overarching story, sort of. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment wherever you are. Give any advice of what you think I can do to improve the podcast. And thank you guys for watching, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.